How's it going, Grizz Nation? That was Lady Lou and the Bird Dogs playing us in. I'm Luke.
And I'm Mike. This is the Grizz Fan Podcast by Montana Mint Sports. Our second Grizz Fan Podcast.
We got the sequel. We got the nod for the sequel, Mike.
Thank God. We got renewed from the pilot.
So in our debut episode, we talked a lot about the Gresh Jensen news that he was leaving the Grizz. Anything new on that?
Yeah, no, we talked a lot about Gresh and Cody McCombs. Don't forget Cody McCombs.
Cody, I miss you.
And it was going to be our spring wrap-up, but turned into Gresh Jensen morning. Not a lot new on that. He hasn't landed anywhere yet, which is interesting. I think he is probably checking all his options. Maybe he's holding out hope that in mid-June the NCAA is going to change the transfer rule, and he won't have to sit out if he goes to a D1 program. Otherwise, you're going to see him at a junior college program somewhere, probably California would be my guess. But nothing else new from Gresh himself.
Do you think that the coaches have any regret over this, or are they just, Gresh is in the rearview mirror, let's look forward?
I think that if we learned anything from Bobby Houck last time he was here, that the public answer is Gresh who? Gresh is in the rearview mirror and they're definitely looking forward. And, you know, the release to their key boosters that they're, you know, Dalton Sneed's the guy and they're ready to go and they're showing excitement with him. Honestly, if they don't have a tinge of regret, even if they think they handled it completely perfectly, I think that'd be kind of a bad sign because Gresh is a good player. And it's like you'd like to think that, man, what could we have done different? But maybe it just was destined not to work out.
Well, one, we don't have a real suitable backup to an unproven Dalton Sneed yet.
We have no backup. I mean, the young guy, no disrespect to Wilson from Polson, but he's not ready yet. He just isn't.
Two, I kind of think that maybe this didn't go as planned, or maybe it did. The more I've had time to think about this, I wonder if, let me set up a scenario for you here, Mike.
All right.
We know that Bobby Houck's offense isn't as high-flying as Bob Stitt's.
Okay.
And we know that Bobby Houck has sort of been lowering expectations since the moment he's arrived. He said multiple times in multiple venues that we don't necessarily have the horses yet and that this team can't compete with some of his great teams of the past. And I was kind of thinking, like, maybe he knows we're not going to be as good as what Grizz Nation has come to expect. And if the only thing that has changed is him and Bob Stitt, really,
mm-hmm.
like, maybe it's going to look like it was his fault. But if you lose your star quarterback, you know, accidentally or for reasons unknown, you know, then like it's not just his fault if Grizz Nation underperforms.
Mm-hmm.
What am I just, this is complete conspiracy theory, but what does, is there any merit to that?
Well, I think you're fan crazy. and I think that everybody who is a rational thinker hopes that that's not accurate. But you and I were talking, you know, the other day that, in our adult life, we found that a lot of adults don't make decisions as rationally as maybe we thought they did when we were kids. So I have no doubt that somewhere with somebody, that's a possibility. How much of a possibility that factored into this whole mess, God only knows. But I don't think it's as crazy as some of the other things that you know, we've heard people say.
Well, I'm Team Bobby and I'm Team Sneed. You know, I think we need to keep looking forward and, you know.
Yeah, you know, oh, don't get me wrong. I'm Team Grizz, and I'm gonna cheer for the guys on the team as long as they're good guys, you know, no matter who they are, and support the coaching staff. And there's a lot of good guys on the coaching staff, so it's gonna be fun to watch. I do think that as time goes by, I think we'll start to hear a little bit more on the rumor mill from like the coach's perspective on what exactly went down with Jensen, and I think you might even hear a little bit more on Jensen's perspective once he signs somewhere. You know, you could pick up some signals based on an interview he does with the local paper there or stuff like that. So I think that's going to be interesting to watch. Because my hunch, and this is just a hunch, but my hunch is there's Bobby as the head coach. There's Tim Rosenbaugh as the offensive coordinator. And there's Brent Pease as the wide receivers coach and assistant head coach. And I bet those three didn't all perfectly agree with how they dealt with Jensen this spring. That'd be my guess. You know, those are three different personalities. They've seen three different types of people. And you know, different coaches handle guys different ways. And Bobby's way is, you know, he's a tough love guy. And for better or worse, here we are. What I fear happening, and, you know, God only knows how this is going to work out, but Jensen goes to a JUCO college this year. Bob Stitt gets a Big Sky Conference coaching job next year. You know, there's a couple bad teams, so there'll probably be some job openings. And who's he bring with him? Gresh Jensen. God, then we would,
oh my gosh,
then we would really know for sure what we missed out on. So I hope that isn't what happens, but that's kind of my worst case scenario right now.
Oh, don't even say that. Well, speaking of people who have found new homes, unless you were paying, if you were paying tight attention to the Missoula real estate market, you wouldn't have maybe noticed Bob Stitt sold his house, unless, of course, you followed him on Twitter. Do you follow Bob Stitt on Twitter?
I follow Bob Stitt on Twitter, and I laughed pretty hard.
So I got his tweet right here. I'm going to read from it so I don't say anything wrong. Here's the tweet. We closed on our home in Missoula today. I'd like to thank all of the helpful people that placed for sale signs in our yard the past 3 years since we sold it without having to list it. Talk about throwing salt.
Yeah, I thought it was great. You know, I mean, it's like, it's probably been a smidge sour grapes on Twitter. But I also, I mean, like, Stitt didn't get the fairest shake that's ever happened either. So, you know, whatever it is, what it is. Two interesting points on that story. One is, you know, in the real world, for my job that I get paid for, I manage a real estate company. And a couple years ago, after the cat loss, so it would have been not this past season, but the season before, about 16 of our for sale signs did end up in his yard. Some kids, or so I assume kids, I hope they were kids, not adult Grizz fans, went to a subdivision we had listed and took them all and put them in his yard. So I can confirm that, yes, that did happen once. I know it probably happened with other people as well. But also, I sold Bob Stitt's house. So you're welcome, Bob.
Oh, insider. And you can come to Mike if you want to pull pranks on your coaches.
No, please don't.
He'll lease out signs.
It's a crime. Don't steal the signs. And come on. How terrible is that? You wake up in the morning, your kids wake up in the morning, there's for sale signs out there.
I still love the tweet. It reminds me of the Steph Curry, Chris Paul thing from the Western Conference Finals. When Chris Paul hits a big three and does the shoulder shake, the patented Steph Curry shoulder shake right at Steph. And when asked in the post-game conference, what'd you think about that, Steph? He said, you know, hey, it's all fair. If you shake on people, you got to be willing to get shaken back on. Mm-hmm. And I kind of liked it. I was like, shake back, Bob Stitt.
I agree. You know, I clap back. Baseball is a whole different story in that regard, but you could talk about that. So I liked Curry's answer. And someday on some other pod, we should talk about the unwritten rules of baseball and how everybody needs to get over themselves a little bit. But that's not for this one.
So let me talk a little bit about other people who have left. So since Bobby Houck has taken over, you know, the reins of the team, we've had some other transfers besides Gresh Jensen. Some for injury purposes, like Ryan McKinley. Mm-hmm. Others for reasons unknown.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about the vacancies that we're seeing?
Yeah. So McKinley retired due to injuries. And I think there was an article about that. I'm not 100% sure, but I think he's got hip issues and he battled them all year last year. And he just kind of hung it up from there. I mean, obviously, we talked about a couple of them. Gresh left. Nate Dick transferred. That wasn't a surprise. People were talking about that midseason. He wanted to go back to Billings. He was homesick. Cody McCombs. Two that maybe fans who follow our recruiting pretty close might have, well, a few actually, but two that jump right out are Kendall Sweet, who was a linebacker from Oklahoma, I believe, and Isaiah Banks, who was a safety from, I think, Colorado. And losing both those guys, especially Banks, was kind of a bummer. The rumor mill with Banks was that he'd been planning it pretty much all year. You know, he was a redshirt freshman last year, and I guess he just felt like Missoula and Montana wasn't the place for him. And, you know, who are we to really judge that? I mean, good for him for recognizing and knowing. Kendall Sweet, I don't know a ton about that. I think that he just decided this wasn't going to be the place for him, so he took off. You know, we talked about Markel Sanders retiring.
And then two, I think, maybe critical guys are our offensive line guys. We had Peyton Stoner and Ashton Torres. We seem to be lacking some depth at O-line. Do you think these are significant transfers?
I think that they're significant from the depth. What's interesting is our O-line has one guy coming back with any real starting experience. That's Villanueva. Everybody else is new and young. A couple of them got some playing time last year, you know, Big Thane Jackson from Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And as spring went on, you know, the coaches haven't said it out loud, but I have to think that they were pretty happy with the first string O-line's performance. And I think that we've got a young, but I think legitimate Big Sky O-line. I think they'll take their beatings, but I think that they can be good. The depth on our O-line is terrifying. Like, if I was the coaches, I would probably be scared if we had more than one injury at a time, because we probably have one or two guys that can kind of sub in. You know, Kynes played pretty well with the first unit, so when Jackson gets back from his injury, you know, he'll be a good guy on parts of it. But, you know, our depth is limited, and losing two guys, Peyton Stoner and Ashton Torres, who were both... Stoner was a freshman. Ashton Torres, I can't remember if he was a redshirt freshman or if he played last year. But either way, for depth, if nothing else, like, you hate to see guys go. But the flip side of that is anybody who pays attention to recruiting knows that not all the recruits pan out the way you'd expect. And, you know, I don't really think it's like a Stitt leaving thing, because Germer, the O-line coach is the same guy. And these are all his recruits. So... I have to think they're out there hoping and looking for an O-line drop down, but I think we're going to talk about that a little bit. So
this leads me to ask you a question. Are the Grizz weakest at offensive line or at cornerback?
My opinion is, at the end of last season, people would have said offensive line. I think it's cornerback. I think that depth-wise, we're weak at both places, but I think offensive line, we have... you know, five guys who are legitimately Big Sky caliber starters starting on our line. I think they're young. I think at cornerback, I think we've got a lot of good guys who are good people. I don't know that we have two, much less three, Big Sky caliber starting cornerbacks.
You know, I'm not known for my hot takes, but being shallow at depth in cornerback and O-line sounds like a recipe for disaster when you're playing the game of American football.
Yeah, I think that it's probably what keeps Hauk up at night. I'm sure that from day one on the roster. The reality is, though, and you know, a lot of people want to blame Stitt for this, but the reality is that the positions that are weak right now, that you don't see upperclassmen, seniors and juniors, those were pre-Stitt bad recruiting years. Like, the end of the Delaney era, we did not recruit offensive linemen. I don't know what Coach Delaney and Coach Craig were doing, but... we did not recruit enough offensive linemen.
Because the seniors this year...
would have been Delaney recruits.
Would have been Delaney recruits.
The juniors this year, the redshirt juniors this year, were the guys that were that first year when Stitt got hired. So a lot of them were offered by Delaney, and Stitt honored their scholarships.
Yep.
So it's like, you look at the depth in the upper class, and yeah, we could have attracted drop-downs, and... if it was so easy, Coach Hauk would already have dropdowns to fill those spots. Like, I mean, I'm sure the previous coaching staff went looking for people, didn't find them. And to their credit, they were probably banking on having Sanders for another year, but he retired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that happens. But there was a dropdown corner guy from Colorado that I think the Grizz were hoping to get. But last I checked, I don't know if he's signed or if he was visiting Northern Colorado, but I don't know that the Grizz have a corner... ready and waiting for him.
It doesn't mean we've been complacent in solving our secondary woes. Can you talk about the addition that we made?
Yeah, so I mean, What's interesting is at the end of last year, the safety position would have been a big question mark on the depth as well. They just last week officially announced they got a commitment from a safety transfer named Reed Miller from Arkansas in the SEC. He was a walk-on that earned a scholarship there, mostly a special teamer, but he finished his bachelor's degree and he's a graduate transfer, so he has 1 year to play one. If nothing else, he has a good attitude, and I'll talk about that, and he'll play special teams for us, which we could use. and if he's somebody who can contribute at safety, awesome.
Well, I mean, can you imagine being Robbie Houck and being like having your dad say, "Hey, son, come play for the Grizz. Like, leave your school. Also, we're going to get this drop down from Arkansas." Do you think there's some bad blood between,
you know,
father, son?
Having never talked to Coach Houck about his relationship and his fathering and parenting advice, I can't say this with certainty, but something tells me that deal with it is probably something that has already been discussed. That being said, if Robbie Houck gets cleared by the NCAA, Robbie Houck is one of our starting safeties. Mm. I don't care that he's small. We talked about this last pod. He's the best tackler on the team, and he's going to play for the Grizz for all 4 years.
Well, Reed Miller, this guy from Arkansas, is small. He's 5'9", 202.
Yeah. So if nothing else, I think it's good depth. And we're going to be better on special teams. And safety, they remade. You know, I mean, they've got some good depth there. We've got, you know, a starter back and a guy back who played a lot. So safety, I'm a lot less concerned about than I used to be.
Yeah, that's good. So we've had some other news with people visiting, feeling the campus out. Mm-hmm. Cam Humphreys?
Yeah, so Cam Humphreys, I think that his name was already floating around when we did the pod, but I can't remember. He is, on one list at least, the top freshman junior college quarterback that's unsigned. The Grizz offered him right after Gresh left. He took his official visit to Missoula last weekend. He still hasn't committed. Mm. Makes me wonder what the hell he's waiting for, because to my knowledge, he doesn't have any other offers. Now, he could maybe want to play out the summer and see if somebody gets hurt somewhere where he's got more of a guaranteed chance to start. Mm-hmm. But the flip side of that is you come into camp in the fall and it's hard to earn a starting job. Like, if he committed now and came to Missoula for the summer, he'd at least get to be in all the unofficial practices with the guys and learn the offense and push Snead a little bit. He looks like a good thrower. I mean, nobody we're going to find is Gresh Jansen, and he's not, and Dalton Snead isn't, and I'm just putting that out there because it's my honest opinion. But could he run things in a Bobby Houck, Tim Rosenbaugh offense? I believe so, yeah.
Just so you know, he threw for 19 touchdowns in 11 games last year, almost 2,200 yards, in the Orange Empire Conference. So
you and I are big fans of the Orange Empire Conference.
If that doesn't say it all... then I don't know what will. So my big question is, are we really at the ride or die point with this Grizz team? Or can we reasonably expect we're going to get some relief, you know, at cornerback, at quarterback, on the O-line?
So I guess I think they'll find a few guys to put in a few places. But I think it's going to be more young or depth. Like, usually in the summer we'll pick up a transfer from one of the academies, especially the Air Force Academy, because people go to Air Force prep for a year and then decide that's not for them. Keenan Curran came that route. Another guy we just signed, who was with us in the spring, a D lineman, I believe, I can't remember his name right now, went that route as well. So I could see something like that, but those guys are usually younger. Will we get an impact transfer? I'm not going to say we won't, because you never know what's going to happen, but everybody else is looking for a transfer too. And just like, you know, this quarterback, you know, if he comes in and he thinks that Snead's the guy, what's his motivation to come here? Mm-hmm. You know, on the cornerback side, we've been looking for a transfer cornerback for 4 years now. You know, we haven't found one. So could it happen? Oh, absolutely. But the reality is we're more likely to sign a body to provide depth than we are to find a Big Sky Conference caliber starting anybody, in my opinion, yeah. offensive lineman, cornerback, or anything like that at this point of the season. Not impossible, but not very likely.
So the NCAA came out with a policy recently that's going to complicate the possibility of us getting...
Yeah, so it wasn't the NCAA, it was the Big Sky Conference.
Thank you, yes.
And the Big Sky Conference, like they just announced it Monday afternoon, which is the day that we're recording. But it's called the Serious Misconduct Rule. And I haven't had a chance to really dig into it, but what I would call it is the Big Sky Conference isn't giving anybody second chances rule. All right, so I'll read the rule. The Serious Misconduct Rule. A current or prospective student athlete who has been convicted of or pled guilty or no contest to a felony or misdemeanor involving serious misconduct or has been subject to official university or athletic department disciplinary action at any time during enrollment at any collegiate institution, excluding limited discipline applied by a sports team or temporary disciplinary action during an investigation, due to serious misconduct, shall not be eligible for athletically related financial aid, practice, or competition at a Big Sky member institution. For purposes of this provision, serious misconduct is defined as any act of sexual violence, domestic violence, dating violence, stalking, sexual exploitation, or any assault that employs the use of a deadly weapon or causes serious bodily injury. The rule is effective for all prospective student athletes beginning with the December 19th recruiting class. So it technically doesn't start until next year's recruiting class that can sign December 19th. Actually, it doesn't start until December 19th, 2019.
Okay.
So more than a year out. However, it starts right now. I mean, what are schools going to do? Sign someone who won't meet it and be like, well, we still have a year. Let's sign that felon.
Well, I think this is a really good policy in that it gives the Grizz a level playing field, right?
I think so. I actually, you know...
What do I mean by that?
I think I agree with what I think you're saying, and that is the Grizz have had so much trouble the last 5 to 7 years with some issues that they had as a school and as a department, and we don't need to get into all that, but things have changed at UM. There's a student-athlete code of conduct. There's higher standards. It's easier to get kicked off. And this policy almost, to me, sounds like the most serious part of the UM student-athlete code of conduct. So what it basically does is make sure that every other school in the Big Sky isn't going to let people in that the UM has already said we're not going to let in.
So this doesn't really change the strategy for our coaches looking for players, because we weren't going to bring in someone with a troubled checkered past.
No, I think those days were already behind UM. What's interesting is it obviously changes what happens if someone gets in trouble. Mm. And, you know, most of them look like they have to do with domestic violence and sexual assault violence, and as they should. You know, campuses need to be taking that more seriously than they have. And then the last part, you know, or causes serious bodily injury. So it's like, what's the definition of serious bodily injury? You know, if somebody gets in a bar fight and breaks a guy's jaw and it has to be wired, I'd say that's pretty serious bodily injury, right?
I'd say that's serious.
So it's like, where's that fall? It's going to be interesting to watch this play out.
All right, Mike, shifting gears, let's get back to some Grizz football related stuff. Is there anything else exciting going on?
Well, believe it or not, you know, it feels like summer just started, and it did.
It did.
My wife and I bought a trailer today. So, you know,
congrats. It's,
you know,
that's a power move.
We're adulting here.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, this is real. But they have started their 100-day countdown to opening night.
I love countdowns.
And they're like 10 days into it already. And I'm on a random email list of like a awesome dedicated fan who does a countdown list. And we should maybe find him and have him on a pod someday, because he'd probably be interesting to talk to. The university's one they just do on Twitter, and they'll just say like 99 days till Grizz football. Monday today is 89 days to go. So 89 is Tim Semenza. Had the second most made field goals in Big Sky as a freshman in 2016. And is looking to lead the kicking game for UM once again in 2018. though I don't think he's going to, because I think that the kid from Kalispell is our kicker. But anyway, you know, his
you heard it here first.
His number is in the 30s, so they can't talk about him on day 89. But so they're just doing that fun on Twitter. Sometimes they'll throw back to a player before. So like 90 days out was Ryan Featherston. 91 days was Tyrone Holmes. 92 days is Alex Bienemann.
Can Tyrone drop down?
That'd be great. If we could somehow find a way to get Tyrone a whole new set of eligibility, that'd be great.
So Grizz Football Twitter is doing this countdown.
Yep, Grizz Football Twitter.
How do you find them? What's their handle?
I believe they're just at Montana Grizz Football. Montana Grizz FB, I should say.
And what's this other guy counting down?
He's kind of doing the same thing, but his is just like he counts down the guys on the roster. So if there's a number 99 in the current roster, he talks about them. If not, he'll talk about highlights of a random freshman who's coming in. We will need to get him on this pod at some point. And chances are, at least some of listening is going to be like, oh yeah, that's Grizz Fan Dan. Because I think that's what the email comes from, is Grizz Fan Dan. Although I don't think that's his name. I thought it was Ben. So we'll have to figure that out. But yeah, so that's going on. And I'm trying to have fun with it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's never too early to start the ramp up to Grizz football season.
Yep. They haven't officially announced yet the night game, but I believe they're hoping that the Northern Iowa game is going to be a night game. I think they have to work with the TV contracts and convince Northern Iowa to stay later. Although, if I remember right, when we beat them 2 years ago, it was a late evening game, so they can deal with it. The Northern Iowa coach is one of my least favorite coaches in college football because he's a whiner.
Okay.
So we're going to have a whole different pod where I think we should talk about every game on the schedule. And I can talk about the history with that guy whining about having to come to play the Grizz in the playoffs. And there's nothing better than beating him in the playoffs. And my seats are in the front row of the north end zone by the visitors' tunnel. And you're going to watch him walk off the field. I don't feel sorry for him.
There's no better pod than listen to Mike whine about a guy who whines.
Yeah. Quality. I'm not whining. I'm calling out his bullshit.
Okay.
You know, speaking of the tunnel and visitors, I'm going to take credit for Vernon Adams transferring. Because, you know, when he destroyed us his junior year here, he was walking up the tunnel, and I said, "Hey, Vernon," and he turned around. And one of the coaches turned around, too, and I'm sure they thought I was going to say something terrible. And I said, "Please transfer. Go anywhere you want." And he just smiled and said, "Hey, thanks for the compliment," because what do you do with a guy like that? I mean, he was good. And then he transferred. So you're welcome. It's not my fault that Eastern Washington just finds magical QBs again and again and again. But, let's get back on topic.
Okay. No, these are the juicy tidbits of people tune in to listen
this
for.
This is what the people want, Luke.
What UM wants is $100,000. And how are they going to find it, Mike?
Oh, man. Well, UM Athletics probably wants more than $100,000. But the most recent $100,000 is the basketball team just signed a $100,000 contract to go play at Creighton. And as Luke said when I brought it up, like, I think Creighton might be in a little bit of trouble.
What are they doing?
I mean, there's no way they don't know that the Grizz team just made the NCAA tournament and has everybody coming back.
I mean, Creighton's...
What do you know about them? I just know who they are.
They're a good team. I mean, I think they finished third in the Big East. 20 plus wins. And I remember, because I don't really start following like teams in the Big East until, you know, February, March. But the first game I watched of Creighton's last year, they had upset Villanova. And yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, this team's like not too bad.
But Villanova ended the season okay.
They did all right. But still, like regardless, Creighton loses their best player. They return their second best player, who's like the two-time All Big East Defensive Player of the Year. But still, this is a mean Big Sky Conference team that can compete and slug with the big boys. So did Creighton just pay $100,000 to get embarrassed in Omaha?
I think they paid $100,000 for not a guaranteed win. I mean, Creighton's going to be favored on their home court, and they finished number three in the Big East. But it's like, I don't get that. They must have been desperate for a game, because I don't get why you would bring a mid-major in who's – the way too early mid-major poll I saw that came out last week has the Grizz at number 10. I mean, they're
– wow.
As long as they don't trip up in the Big Sky tournament next year, they're going to have a decent seed. I mean, they're going to be a good team.
So I saw that the Grizz are getting paid $95,000 to go play Arizona.
Uh-huh.
So Creighton's overpaying.
They must have a hole in their schedule.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is pretty late schedule a game, so they must...
They're building their strength of schedule because they know the Grizz.
Yeah.
Right?
But boy, you know, the Grizz, like, Arizona, maybe they catch them, like, maybe some shoes fall with all the paying players and stuff, and they catch Arizona. Who knows? But the one thing I love about Coach Shakir is they always go play people. You know, they're not afraid of going and, like, giving their best shot,
mm-hmm.
which I think is awesome.
Yeah, I love that. All right, man. I kind of think that wraps it up for us. We've got more podcasts mapped out and lined up for the summer. We're going to be launching the weekly version of this in the fall.
Yeah, we'll definitely do weekly in the fall because, you know, games are easy to talk about. In the summer, if we tried to do something weekly, it would be, you know... Well, actually, it's giving away a podcast down the road. But it would be Luke and I talking about what beer we're drinking and what we did last weekend. And nobody cares.
Well, what beer are you drinking?
We're drinking something from the Phillipsburg Brewing Company right now.
It's the Rye Pale Ale.
Tramway.
And Phillipsburg Brewing Company, fun fact, was voted by fans as the most popular brewery in Montana.
You know, are the... Phillipsburg Brewing Company sponsors of this podcast or Montana Mint?
They should be.
Because why are we giving them
free, I don't know.
Free it's, advertising?
It's a good beer.
It is a good beer. I've been happy with it the whole show. Things to be on the lookout for. We'll get a Twitter account going live so you guys can interact with us a little bit. We'd love show ideas. And we'll get that live. We'll have Montana Mint tweet that out. And we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
All right. We'll have Lady Lou and the Bird Dogs play us out. Thanks, everyone.